today as we come to the table.
Notice he didn't stop until the going down of the sun. He didn't stop until he had victory over this area of the flesh. Until the Amalekites were destroyed, he didn't stop. You know, the Bible says, confess your sins one to another that you might be free. And this is why I said, find some prayer partners that are faithful. Find somebody that you can go to and say, look, I'm really struggling with, you know, pornography, or I'm really struggling with, you know, sometimes I drink and I drink too much, or I'm really struggling with thoughts that aren't good. Tell them, find somebody you love that loves you that'll keep their mouth shut. And they'll say, you know what? Wow, I will pray with you. Let's pray. Okay? And they pray with you, and they pray for you, and they pray it through until the end till you have victory.
God wants you to be free from the sin that's holding you back. It doesn't matter what it is or how big, it's what the Bible refers to as flesh, and it's something that can be conquered. Today you'll join Moses and the Israelites in a literal battle against a sinful nation, but Pastor Mark will share that it's a picture of this war on flesh that every Christian needs to wage. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. When God opens your eyes to the sins that need work in your heart, don't be afraid to take them on. He's here with you, and you can ask for help from friends who will commit to praying for you and supporting you. You can win, so start the battle. Well, let's join Pastor Mark in Exodus chapter 17 as he continues his message, Battling the Flesh.
God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt with that rod, which is a picture in Scripture of salvation, delivered from sin into life. If God can deliver you from sin into life, which is the biggest battle in your life, do you think He can handle some Amalekites? You better believe it. What are your Amalekites? I don't know what they are. Maybe your Amalekite's a donut. I'm going back to donuts. There's your Amalekite. You're like, man, these donuts have me conquered. God, you can defeat those donuts. And you think of Joshua down there in that low place looking up and seeing the rod of God and saying, look, you delivered me. You saved me from sin and gave me life. You can defeat this whatever it is. I remember, again, I told you guys, you know, when I first got saved and doing all these gymnastics classes with these little kids, and I'd never worked with kids ever. I was always the kid. I was the baby of the family, so I had no experience of working with kids. I was the kid. I was the one driving everyone else crazy. Suddenly, I had them, and I was surrounded by Amalekites. And I would cry out to God and say, God, you can deliver me, you know. Because I would have to teach them all these things, and I had to try to learn. I was learning discipline while I was trying to discipline them and trying to teach them gymnastics. And truly, there was this whole thing where I prayed and said, God, you got to help me. I have no clue what I'm doing. And I kid about saying Amalekites, but the bottom line is that God blessed me in that and showed me how to do that and taught me a lot of things and showed me that with God's power, we can do anything. You know, and I think about Joshua again, seeing him raise that rod and realizing the battle, you know, we can defeat the enemy. And guys, you need to know that God can give you the power to defeat anything in your life. There's no stronghold that's too great for God. The rod of God would be that reminder not only to Joshua, but also to all of the children of Israel as they were down there fighting. I can imagine being in the thick of the battle and saying, are we going to survive this thing? And looking up and seeing that rod held up in the air. And going, yes, we are going to win this because the rod of God, God's power has been displayed to us. And so this picture of winning, but how do we get the victory? Let's go on. Look at verse 10. So Joshua did as Moses said to him, and he fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur, the three of them, went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Now, what's with this? It'd be kind of like, oh, they're winning. Oh, they're losing. Oh, they're winning. Oh, they're losing. You know, you kind of could play with that for a while. You know, up, down, up. You know, what's up with that? You have to understand, to the Jew, to the Hebrew, this is the prayer position. Hands raised. hands raised. So what God is showing you is, as long as you are in prayer, Moses, there will be victory for you and the people. But when you stop praying, what happens? The flesh begins to win. I can testify to that. As long as I'm in prayer, I have victory over my flesh. When I'm not in prayer, the flesh has victory over me. And I can directly relate how my walk is with God depending on where my hands are. And I'm not talking about you have to walk around with your hands up, or every time you pray, your hands have to be up. It is a picture of what prayer is. This was the prayer position for the Hebrew. And so God is showing the people, Moses is praying for you. The power of God is being displayed for you. And Moses, again, was praying for himself, praying for the people. And they had the victory as long as they were praying. And so they were defeated. So the flesh will be defeated if we're praying. When it's not, it won't be. And so Moses, they see this whole picture there. And notice verse 12, but Moses' hands became heavy. You ever gotten tired? Even of praying in the midst of a long spiritual battle. Anybody been there? Your hands get heavy. I've had trials go on for years. And I pray. And I pray. And I oftentimes, you know, I'll walk and pray. It's hard for me to sit still. And so I walk and pray. And as I'm praying, I just think, God, I'm getting weary in this. I've prayed for so many years and I'm getting tired. And I get weary in this. And we all face that. What does the Bible say? Don't stop. Continue on. And yet sometimes you get so tired. This is what's happening to Moses here. It's the whole picture of Moses is now getting tired in his prayer because he can't keep his hands up the whole time. So he starts to get tired. And notice what happens. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side, one on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Now, there's so much in this verse. Notice this. First of all, he got weary in the prayer position, if you will, in praying. But notice what they did. When he got weary in prayer, they took a stone and they put it under him. Guys, the Bible says that Jesus is our what? He is our rock. And I tell you, when I get so tired that it's like, I just can't pray anymore about this, I just kind of get settled in on Jesus. And I say, Lord, you're going to have to help me. You're going to have to give me the desire to continue to pray for this. You're going to have to give me the strength to continue to pray for this. Because I've prayed for this now for 20-some years and there's no breakthrough. And I've got some things I've prayed for now. For about 23 years, no breakthrough. And I started day one salvation. Day one. I've been praying 23 years now. Nothing's happened yet. It would be easy to quit. It'd be easy to give up. To me, 23 years is a long time. To the Lord, it's nothing. You know, but I reason with the Lord. I know to you, 20-some years is nothing, but do that four times and I'm dead. If I'm blessed to make it to 80. But here's the key, guys. If you are weary in your prayer tonight, listen, here's the principles of prayer. Remember, I want to make sure you understand these principles. If you're praying, you have victory over the flesh. If you're not praying, the flesh has victory over you. Now, when you get tired in the prayer and you begin to find you can't do it, what is one of the first things you do? Rest on the Lord. Tell him you're tired. Let him know you don't have the strength. Call on his name. Say, God, you've got to help me. If you don't give me the strength, I'm not going to be able to continue in this. So you call on his name. That's huge. But then notice what else? This is also huge. Notice here it says, not only he sat on the rock, but Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other side, and the hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Guys, he got other people to help him pray in his fatigue. Now, there's not going to be literally people, one getting this arm and one getting that arm, but you know what you do? Hey, man, you know, Russ, can you pray with me? Max, help me out, man. I'm struggling. Pray for me. And you just find people, look around, you know, I've got this situation going on right now and I'm getting weary in it. I'm tired. I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm resting on the rock. I've really been seeking God about it, but my arms are getting heavy here. I haven't seen a breakthrough, and maybe you are seeing a breakthrough, but you just don't know that you can keep doing it. And you get other people and you get one on either side and they pray for you. And guys, find people that really will pray for you. And that's interesting. Aaron's name means light bearer. So you need people praying for you that are going to be in the Word and seeking the Lord and giving you encouragement, saying, oh man, I was praying for you and God, you know, said this and I want to encourage you in that. Light bearer, that's cool. But now it's very interesting to me and stumped me at first when I looked up Hur's name. His name means whole, H-O-L-E. I'm thinking, Lord, why would I want to pray for somebody that's in a hole, you know, or have them to have somebody in a hole praying for me? And I'm telling you, it was like, Mark, when you go to battle, who do you want to, who's going to be faithful to you, the guy in the foxhole or the guy that's run? And you need somebody who's going to stay in that foxhole with you and say, you know what? This is a low valley. You're in an Amalekite valley and it's low right now. You've got somebody who's encouraging you in the word, but you got another guy who's willing to say, you know what? I'm here with you. I'm here with you. And I'll stand with you in this low place, in this hole. I'll help hold your arms up. I know it's heavy. I know it's hard. And it might even be somebody that you're standing with that others have accused. And maybe they're being falsely accused. Maybe friends have turned away and they're in this real pit. And you're saying, you know what? I'm here with you. I love you and I'm going to stand with you. These are the kind of people you need praying for you. And you need one on both sides. You know, Ben and her. No, just kidding. Aaron and her. You know, one of them a guy, one of them a girl. Just kidding. But anyway, see, those are the things you shouldn't say. All right? But that's light. That's not bad. That's just not funny. But again, they supported his hand. So find people that you love. Find people that you trust that won't gossip. And ask them to pray for you. Because you don't need to be splattering all your personal things. Well, I just talked to so-and-so, and they asked me to pray for them, and I got to tell you what's going on. No, find somebody trustworthy. But somebody that'll hold one arm, and somebody that'll hold another arm, and you can trust, and they'll support your hands. And notice this, when you do that, look at the result of that here at the end of verse 12. When you do that, it says, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. That is, it steadied him in his prayer life. It kept him where he needed to be, and it kept him from giving up. Other people praying with him and winning the battle. But notice this also, before we move on, we have to fight through till the end. Notice he didn't stop until the going down of the sun. He didn't stop until he had victory over this area of the flesh. Until the Amalekites were destroyed, he didn't stop. You know, the Bible says, confess your sins one to another that you might be free. And this is why I said, find some prayer partners that are faithful. Find somebody that you can go to and say, look, I'm really struggling with, you know, pornography, or I'm really struggling with, you know, sometimes I drink and I drink too much, or I'm really struggling with thoughts that aren't good. Tell them, find somebody you love that loves you that'll keep their mouth shut. And they'll say, you know what? Wow, I will pray with you. Let's pray. Okay? And they pray with you and they pray for you and they pray it through until the end till you have victory. So when they hold your hand steady and you're not done until the very end, until the sun goes down. I love that. And notice the result here. Now, those are the principles of prayer, calling on Joshua, you know, calling on the Lord, making sure you stay in prayer, not getting weary. When you get weary, resting on Jesus. Then when you do that, have people on either side of you holding up your hands and continue on until you see the victory. These are the principles of prayer and the principles of victory over the flesh. But notice the results here. Now look at verse 13. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Isn't that great? Number one, notice that Joshua had the victory, but what did he get the victory through? Prayer and what else? The edge of the sword. Guys, what is the sword in Scripture? The Word of God. Exactly. The Word of God. So you pray through, but then you're in the Word. You get the victory with the Word. You know, you look at Jesus in the wilderness, and when Satan came and fought at him, what better example could you get on how to get victory than what Jesus did, right? The enemy comes at Jesus, and every time the enemy came at Jesus, what did he say? It is written. He pulled out his sword. There he was. Whew. The sword, man, the double-edged sword. He pulled it out. Boom. It is written. And he began to use the double-edged sword, cutting both ways, you know, and he used the word of God. I've done this with my girls, and I do this with people in the body. When they come to me and say, you know, Mark, I'm struggling in this area. And when I'm struggling in an area, I have certain scriptures that I've memorized for some of my Amalekites. I've got a lot of Amalekites. And they're like this little village of people just waiting for their chance. And so whenever little Amalekite, you know, starts raising up, it is written. And I fight that Amalekite with the sword of the word. And I'll just say, it is written. And I just, boom, there it is. You know, maybe you have fear gripping you. It is written. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Maybe some of you guys are sitting there and, you know, Miss America walks by. And she's wearing almost nothing. It is written, do not be deceived. Adulterers will not inherit the kingdom of God. Maybe you women, you walk by a purse, a pair of shoes. I'm joking. Y'all didn't laugh. This must be serious for you ladies. You're right. You're right. It is purses and shoes. You're right, Pastor Mark. No, I'm joking. Whatever your struggle is, whatever it is written. Maybe it's the fact that, you know, your husband, he used to kind of romance you, but he doesn't anymore. And that guy really talks nice to me. He tells me how pretty I am, and he liked my new blouse. My husband doesn't even know what a blouse is. He He noticed, you know, my new haircut. My husband never notices my haircut. Tells me I smell nice. And that's an Amalekite, ladies. It is written, do not be deceived. Adulteresses will not inherit the kingdom of God. Is everybody with me? You pull out the sword, you begin to do battle. And I'll tell you what, when I start reading scripture that say this kind of person won't inherit the kingdom of God, it gets my attention really fast. That's something to draw me back in line real quick. So, boom, okay, got it. I'm there. We're not taking any, listen, God's word is clear and we need to make sure we know it and we need to use the sword in that battle. And so they have the victory here through the edge of the sword. And notice verse 14, then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua that I may utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. I love this. He said, I'm going to completely defeat that area of flesh in your life, believer. And I want you to know that when I do, I'm going to blot it out forever. You know, I have different areas where I have certain struggles that I had. And I remember when God took them away, they were just done. They were gone. God supernaturally removed them. And it's a work of God. It wasn't my self-determination. It wasn't a self-help book. It wasn't a support group. It was the power of God and me crying out saying, this Amalekite's wiping me out. You know, I need you, God, to, you know, well then pray. Lift up the rod of God. Remember my power and pray to me and cry out to me. Pull out the sword. It is written. Begin to fight. We got a battle going on here. And if you do that, I'll give you the victory. And God has given me the victory. He gives us all the victory through that. But I love it because he specifically says, read this in the hearing of Joshua. Because Joshua is the one that obeyed him and went to the battle. And I think that God does this, the hearing of Joshua. I think God specifically did this for Joshua so that Joshua would realize his efforts to fight the flesh were not in vain. When he depended on prayer and the edge of the sword, the word of God in prayer, it's not in vain. And we need to remember that. You know, and I was thinking, you know, I wonder in heaven, you know, if God's written down, I'm sure he has written down our victories. It's not in vain. God sees it. I love the end of Malachi. It says that whenever we talk about the Lord, he writes it down in a special book. Again, it's kind of like that parent book that you write down things your kids do that you want to remember. In Malachi at the end, it says, and those who loved the Lord spoke about him, and God listened and wrote about it, wrote it down in a book. Isn't that great? So God sees you. He sees you fighting the Amalekites. He sees you going to prayer. He sees you using the word, it is written. He sees the battle. He sees you crying out for help. And he goes, look, that's my child. They love me. And you know, I tell you, you know, do we love him when nobody else knows it? Do we love him when nobody else is around? I love Joseph, 17-year-old guy, leaves home, has every opportunity. Of course, he didn't leave home on his own will. But he has every opportunity to sin, and nobody will know that knows him. Mom and dad won't know. Friends won't know. What did he do? He ran. He said, I will do this for my God. This is an issue between my God and I. And nobody else in the world may know, but he knows. And he's watching. What a great lesson, guys, to learn ourselves and to teach our kids. God sees everything. I'm all alone. Nobody will know. You should immediately hear this voice that goes, wrong. Not only do I know, all of heaven and the angels are watching. What does the Bible say? We're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. I've actually had images in my mind when the enemy throws a temptation at me and you're like, whoa, where'd that come from? And I can just, in my mind, see this cloud of witnesses kind of watching. I'm all alone, right? Wrong. I'm surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, by the holy angels, that I can grieve them and grieve the Spirit of God if I do something stupid. It's something we have to choose to not allow our flesh to go too far, and we got to kill the Amalekites while they're little. You know, if you see a little Amalekite around your foot, squash the little guy. Don't let him get big on, you know, why? Why you've grown, you know? you've gotten large. Next thing you know, you got this guy that's your size, and then you're, right? Don't wait till then to start the battle. When the guy's little, kill him. Deal with it while it's small. That's all kinds of little images coming to my mind. Anyway. So write it for a memorial. Let Joshua hear you read it so that he can go, yes, God was faithful. And God saw that I was fighting the Amalekites. God saw that I took a stand. God saw that I did the right thing. And so kind of a reward here for Joshua. He says, and let Joshua know, I will utterly blot out the remembrance. I'm going to deliver you from that area, and I'm going to do away with it forever. I hear of people that maybe struggle with some area they want to get rid of, and then when God takes it, they say, I don't even have that desire anymore. The desire is completely gone. Because when God defeats an Amalekite, he does. Now, I believe we can rewake that if we start playing with the Amalekites again. But if we don't, God defeats it, and we stay walking in the Spirit. God is faithful. And notice verse 15, and Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner. I love it. Banner showing your battle standard, if you will, the one that's your protector, the one that watches over you. Who is our, this altar here? The Lord is our banner. He's the one that gives us the victory. He's the one that did it. They didn't do it. It was God coming down through Moses, down to Joshua, and to the people, and defeating the enemy. So when you have victory over the flesh, it's not you doing it. It's God coming down through your prayer and seeking him through you having victory over the enemy. And so the Lord is our banner. He's the one that watches over us, and he's the one that takes care of us. And notice, for he said, why did he say this? He said, because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Now, guys, we finished today with a big warning here, and that is this. Look, the Amalekites were defeated, right? Everybody with me? Victory over the flesh, the whole picture. But guess what? It doesn't go away. We will be fighting with the Amalekites. How often? From generation to generation. Do we fight with our flesh our entire life until we die? You better believe it. See, all we do is temporarily squash the Amalekites. We defeat them, and don't get me wrong, we get victory over the flesh through the power of God, but the Amalekites are always there. And they're just waiting. It's that constant battle, which lets us know we always have to be in the Word using the sword. We always have to be in prayer. We always have to be in worship. We always have to be watching and making sure that the enemy can't move in and take over, because the Amalekites are waiting just to destroy us. And how many of us have known believers that have allowed the Amalekites to come back in and take them? Have you known anybody like that? They walk with the Lord for years and years, and suddenly they're back, they're right. Not only do the Amalekites take them over, they're in the midst of the Amalekite camp partying with them. And so, generation to generation, this is a warning. Don't think just because I've got victory, there's no sin right now that has my life. But does that mean that sin doesn't want to get it somewhere? So we have to always be prepared. So I end with this, and that is this, guys. Let me ask you, are you in battle against the flesh or any Amalekites tonight? Are you? Are you battling some Amalekites? If not, you will be at some point soon. So be prepared. You need some Amalekite repellent, a little spray can or something. Okay, then what do? We do the same thing Moses did. Note this. Pardon me for being repetitive, but I want to make sure you understand these steps, because, guys, this is big. Number one, we run to Joshua. Run to Jesus. That's our first thing we do. Number two, we assume the prayer position. We seek the Lord in prayer. Number three, we're firmly seated on the rock. Jesus Christ. We don't move from that spot, because we'll never sink if we're there. Number four, we make sure that we have believers on either side helping to hold up our hands. Pray for me. Pray for me. Fifthly, we don't give up until the sun goes down or until the battle's won. And lastly, make sure you write a memorial or commit it to memory so you never forget God's faithfulness. When you get those battles and those victories, guys, remember that. Because when the next battle comes, you can look back and say, you know what? God, you delivered me before. You can deliver me out of this. And God will be faithful.
And just like that, another time at the table of God's Word has come to an end. Maybe you've heard these things mentioned in the book of Exodus before, or perhaps you're hearing it for the first time. Exodus is one of those books where it's undeniable, observing God's power and might in what He does through His people and for His people. Pastor Mark will continue teaching through the book of Exodus next time, but you don't have to wait until then to listen to more great Bible studies. You can access this series, plus much more, at thewaymedia.net. Feel free to share these messages with anyone who wants to know more about what the Bible has to say. You can also download the Way Media app to access teachings as they're available. Before we close, we want you to know that if you live in the Knoxville area, you're invited to join Pastor Mark in the community of Jesus followers at Calvary Knoxville for our next service. For over 20 years, it's been incredible to see how God has used us in our local community. And through this radio outreach, there's always a seat for you. Sunday mornings at 8, 9:30, or 11:15. We also meet on Sunday nights at 6 or Wednesday nights at 7. If you can't make it in person, that's not a problem. You can join us online. We're streaming our services through the Way Media app. To find more info on Calvary Knoxville, scroll to the bottom of the waymedia.net for a link to our church website. Pastor Mark has more to share from the book of Exodus, so be sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.